of Drunk on Comics. We're like Manti Te'o, 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one.
Wow. That's awesome. God, what a dick. And I don't mean it. I don't mean the football player. Oh, God. Well, welcome to Drunk on Comics, everybody. This is our podcast about comic books, conventions, nerdly little nuggets of fun. My name's Derek. We got with me today.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh, I was just, I'm sorry. I'm too busy reading my comics.
Yeah. And for people that can't see, me would be Kevin. And also we have
Tony.
Yay, Tony.
And we have my girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, well, I got Teo's girlfriend. She's cheating on him.
That's who I was dating.
Oh, yeah. That's okay. It's not gay if it's a three-way. So, oh, God. Well, welcome once again. We're going to get things kicked off here with Off the Shelf, which is once again brought to you by that awesome online comic book retailer, Intercomics. You can find them at inter-comics.com. UK-based online retailer, but don't worry, they ship worldwide. They're awesome. They also have some really cool blogs. They have little artist deathmatch things going on there. Well worth checking out. Lots of fun shit. So trust us. Do what we say. That was the Jedi mind trick there, which I know the guys from an Elegant Weapon podcast will appreciate, which, by the way, check them out too. So here's your warning. We're going to spoil the shit out of your comics. So if you haven't read them yet, you might want to read them first and then come back and listen. Otherwise, you've been warned. So, Kevin.
I don't think I'm going to be spoiling anything this week. Because I picked up my first Marvel title in a while.
You sound so excited.
So for the last handful of weeks, I've been riding a high on DC Comics.
Mm-hmm.
Just jumping in to something, and I don't know, maybe it's because I really like those characters. Those are the ones that I really were reading a lot in the day. But I thought every issue I was picking up, there was something interesting that was happening with the characters. I was kind of following along. So this week I picked up Venom number 30. Which I thought was weird, because it always seems like with this Marvel Now thing, like everything's now a one or a two or a three or whatever.
Or four. Or
no, or whatever the number precedes four.
A 3.1.
So they didn't really reboot all of the issues.
No, right? Not all of them.
Okay, so I thought, you know, I'll be riding this high off of DC, translate well into this Marvel. And then on top of that, so it's my first Marvel title, but it's also my very first digital download.
Ooh.
Yeah, so yeah, it looks good. I got this on my Asus Infinity. It looks really nice.
Yeah.
It's really cool to either play around with it, because you can... I wasn't too keen on actually just pulling it up panel by panel.
Yeah, I prefer the full page myself on the digital.
Because a lot of the art tends to bleed into another cell.
Well, you know, the thing for me, I mean, like a lot of the big part of art in a story isn't just the actual individual pictures. Part of it also is the page layout, as far as the panel layout, and what's going on, you know, quote unquote, in the gutters.
Yeah, and I do, actually, one thing I do like is when they do a full page spread.
Yeah, double page?
Yeah, you don't have that seam down the center.
Yeah.
And that always kind of, I wouldn't say distracting, but I mean, when I see it in just one big page, now it's kind of cool how that works. Getting back to Venom number 30, this is done by Colin Bunn. I've heard his name before.
I would hope so, because he writes one of your favorites.
Yep.
The Sixth Gun.
Yep. And then Tony Sillis.
Okay.
Roger Robinson. And then inks. Man, there's four inkers on this.
Sometimes it happens.
Usually, because I always thought it was just like one.
Typically, but sometimes there's multiples.
No, and I tell you, and I definitely could tell between... two pencilers, Celestin Robinson, and then inks Descato, Mendoza, Bit Robinson.
Yep.
I could definitely...
Colors. Who did colors?
Mosa and Fabella.
Fabella, yeah. And letters by Joe Caramagna. That dude does everything.
I could definitely tell the artist style, because there was definitely all sorts of different art styles in this book, and it wasn't distracting. It was just completely noticeable, because usually when I'm reading a book, I just notice from... I always think that the art seems to be smooth from the first page to the last page. I don't think it was really the case in this one. But
how was the story?
Oh yeah. Now we're getting to the story. What was interesting is Flash Thompson. He's Venom.
Tony, you want to take this?
How long has he been Venom?
For quite a while. Did you not listen to when I was doing Minimum Carnage, the crossover between Venom and Scarlet Spider-Man?
I wasn't here.
Well, yeah, but both Kevin and your brother don't listen to the podcast that they are not a part of.
I'm guilty.
Yeah.
I am guilty of that. I didn't know about that. But there is a... I guess I will spoil it. After all, there is an appearance by Eddie Brock,
okay,
who I'm familiar with as Venom.
Yeah.
But fortunately, Marvel, they had an intro, introduction saying Flash Thompson, he got the symbiont from the government, and thankfully for that was happening, or otherwise this whole issue I would have got would have been a jumbled mess, and I would have been completely lost.
So did you like it?
Eh.
Yeah.
Okay. Who the U Corps? Or
I don't know. I don't read Venom, so I'm a little lost on that one.
Yeah, I don't know. There.
Now, okay, let me ask you this.
It just jumped right into a big battle, and then there was this issue between the symbiont and apparently there's a demon within the symbiont, and then Flash Thompson. There was a struggle there, and then the Valkyrie comes out. And is she relevant in the Marvel Universe?
Valkyrie?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Well, she's going to be get her own title with Defenders, or Fearless Defenders.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Her and I don't remember who else, but...
UFOs. That's it.
UFOs?
Yeah, you guys heard of UFOs?
I've heard of MOFOs.
I don't think this was a good introduction to
not a good place for you to jump in.
A good place to jump in. And because of that, I just have to give it a...
Okay.
Well. But I like that it was $2.99, not $3.99.
Well, it's digital.
But aren't the digital copies the same price as the...
They're typically a buck cheaper.
Oh, really?
Typically.
Oh, okay. Because, honestly, that was also part of my... Yeah. For those who haven't picked up on this, I'm fucking cheap as hell. And actually, that was part of my reason for picking this up, because this was $2.99 versus like Indestructible Hulk, Dark Avengers.
Was Indestructible $3.99?
$3.99.
No kidding. So then now they are the same price. But you know what's jacked up about that? You could have gone and bought Indestructible Hulk for $3.99, right, Tony? You've got that sitting there.
Yeah,
and there's a free digital copy. There.
Now, the digital copy, is that in every issue?
No. It's only in their $3.99 issues.
Which is why they charge you $3.99. And then half the time you don't download it anyways, but that's their way of saying, we can charge you $3.99 now.
But see, like, here's a perfect example. The book that I'm going to talk about this week, Captain Marvel number 9, is $2.99. There's no free digital copy. But Punisher Nightmare is $3.99, but it's a free digital copy. So, I mean, you're paying for it.
Okay.
But that then leads into something else, and I'm going to kind of skew things a little bit here. I've been debating this, not debating as much as trying to find out, if you peel that little fucking sticker off, does that decrease the value of the actual book?
Well, we went over that before.
I know, but...
I told you
But nobody... Oh, well, but here's the thing.
I'm going to say yes, because I'm going to go back to remember Spawn number 4.
Well, I remember Spawn number four. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm sure Spawn value has decreased a lot over the years.
I picked up a number one in the dollar bin.
Yeah. But number four, for years, there was always the with coupon and without the coupon.
Yeah.
Value. But even though there's an expiration date on it, you know, something about that, it being fully intact probably has, you know, like if you do that number system baloney crap.
Yeah.
I'm sure
the CGC.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the first thing that they look for is, oh,
someone who's going to buy the book that is looking for the issue, which I've said many times before, these books are not worth shit. And they're not going to be worth shit because there's too many of them printed. And they're out there, so anyone that's collecting these books, thinking they are getting Action Comics number one, it's not going to happen.
Right.
So, do what you want to do with that sticker. If you want to tear it off and download it, do it. If you don't, don't. But I don't see it's going to make or break your comic book selling it to a collector. Because if a collector truly wanted to get this Punisher Nightmare, and for some fucking reason all copies were somehow magically burned, except for your copy, guess what? Well, you're the only one with the copy, whether you have that sticker or not,
well,
they're going to buy it.
Let's say that there were only two copies, all but two copies were burned. One had the sticker peeled, one didn't.
Which one would you buy? Somehow, in this magical realm of this, all of a sudden both of you are like, I'm just going to give up this one issue to the one person that really wants to buy it. Guess what? That scenario is even more far-fetched than the scenario of all of them being burned.
Well, hypothetically speaking, how about you got both, you only want one, and you've got one peeled, one not. Which one do you think the collector would take? The one that's already been peeled or the one that hasn't?
The person that's selling it to me cheaper.
Well, because that's because you're cheap too.
No, I'm collecting it from my collection and there's two out there. And I'm going to be like, holy shit, there's only two out there. I could give two shits less with that sticker or not. $1 million, one guy's saying $1 million, another guy's saying $500,000.
Okay, let me rephrase. You want the issue that, you want this issue. I have two copies. I have the only two copies. I've got both of them at $100. One has the sticker in it. One does not have the sticker in it. Which one do you think people would rather have if it's the same price?
You're making out. You have both fucking copies in the world.
All right, fuck it. Move on. Tony's doing straw man arguments.
Oh, no, there's one last thing I wanted to mention about this digital copy I got. It actually kind of ties to my rating. That's kind of cool. You could actually rate it at the end.
Yeah.
And so out of 5 stars, I gave this 2.
Okay.
Actually, I'd give it 1.5, but I can't really go down.
Yeah.
But that's mainly because, again, I kind of a little lost and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It jumped in at maybe a weird part.
Yeah, maybe it was a weird time, but...
You know what I'll say? Well, I was going to say, I'll peel off the sticker, I'll have my digital copy, and sell that for $1 to the dude.
Actually, I was on eBay the other day, and somebody had, like, the first 20 digital codes for Wolverine and the X-Men or something like that. And he was selling them for a $20, buy it now.
Well, I guess $20 for 20 issues, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously you don't have to pay shipping because he just emails you the damn codes. But I thought that was kind of interesting. I'm like, you know. I mean, it's kind of a way to recoup some of the money that you spent, but anyway, that's it. So, all right, I kind of already mentioned, but I am going to talk about Captain Marvel number 9, written by Kelly Sue DeConnick, art, and I hope I'm saying his name right, because I'm probably going to say it a few times, and if I'm saying it wrong, I'm going to butcher it multiple times. Art by Felipe Andrade, colors are by Jordi Belair, letters, once again, by Joe Caramagna. That dude fucking does everything. And the cover art on this is by Jamie McKelvey. So, for those of you that don't know, Ms. Marvel is now Captain Marvel. And she's gone back in time. She got
a promotion.
Yeah. Now, Kevin, you're looking at this for the first time. So, don't say anything about what you see in there yet.
Boobs.
No, just don't say anything
testicle
yet.
Monster?
No. not syphilitic testicle monster either. But she's gone back in time. She's seen the moment when she got her powers, you know, from a third-person point of view. She's now back in the present, And the first thing that I want to point out on this issue is the new art by Andrade. And I didn't pay attention to the names on the cover, which that's my own fault. I like this book. I always pick it up. And I opened it up, and I was expecting Dexter Soy, who has become one of my favorite artists, to have done the art in the book. So that said, when I opened the book, this art shocked the shit out of me. And not, like, shocked, like, wow, in a good way. Like, shocked in a, like, a almost horrified way. But I need to say and be clear on this, because it was only at first. I mean, it took me a couple pages to kind of get used to Andrade's style, because it's really unlike anything else. And Tony, you haven't seen this yet either, have you?
No.
Okay. But it's so unusual for a superhero book. I mean, it's kind of impressionist, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I'm not an art major or critic or anything like that, but very, very interesting in perspectives and all that. After a few pages, I really did start to enjoy it. I don't know, though, how most people are going to think, because it is real unique. Overall, his art did fit the story really, really well. And the panel layouts on this, like we were just talking about on Venom, the panel layouts actually on this are some of the smartest panel layouts I've ever seen. So the problem for him, for Felipe on this, is that I'm such a huge fan of Soy's that I'm biased. You know, Dexter Soy's art. And, you know, so if I hadn't been expecting it and I wasn't such a huge fan of his, I probably wouldn't have been as judgmental and prejudged that art as much as I did. So I want to give credit. It was really cool, but it took a little getting used to. I also want to point out the colors here by Jordi Belair are fantastic. I mean, she knocks it out of the park with every book and artist that she works with. So enough on the art, though. I want to get on to the story. This book starts off with Tony Stark hacking into Carol Danvers' phone and into her calendar and changes up her schedule and goes, oh, yep, this is what you're doing now. And it's great because she goes, you don't even know how to use a calendar, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, okay, I had Pepper Potts do it. But you see some of her personal everyday life, you know, taking care of her cat to take her cat Chewy to the vet. There's some pretty awesome and completely unnecessary fights in here with dinosaurs where she teams up with Spider-Woman. She gets interviewed by a grad student. She saves her friend from some bad guys at the end. And then she goes home to her friends and then has a doctor's appointment, which goes back to the very beginning of the story when she's talking to Tony Stark. And she's taking aspirin because she has a headache. And Tony mentions, you've been having a lot of those lately. So comes full circle at the end. Kevin, full circle.
Yeah, to her, like, reorganizing her spice drawer or something. Yeah. you're not getting me with the story so far.
Yeah.
So bring it around full circle.
Comes man. Back full circle. She goes to the doctors, finds out that she has a lesion in her brain, and she's basically being grounded. No more flying, no more this, till they can figure it out. So this...
The thing I want to know is, when did her hair grow out again?
Her hair, it was just kind of tufted up. She still had it. It was more pulled back. That hairstyle that you hated. She didn't chop all of her hair off, Tony.
I don't know, man. She has...
She didn't have the butch... I know you hated the haircut.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's a hairstyle. Like, she still has long hair. So, anyway, the thing I want to point out, though, is that the headaches and the lesion in her brain that they found here, is this... the character that we talked about a few weeks ago from Marvel, the female character that may have cancer. You know, she was one that was rumored to be potential.
If they do, that's just fucking rehashing the same old fucking story.
Well, here's the question, though. Actually, well, I don't know if it is or isn't. Like, I mean, because there are people like me who never read the original Captain Marvel. I know of the story. But, you know, I'm invested in Carol Danvers and her character. So for me, that's a big deal. But is it actually that she has cancer, or is this me with my conspiracy theory thinking that they're throwing this out there so that we're totally shocked if a different character ends up with cancer, and for her it's just, you know.
Maybe it's like Phenomenon. you know what it is.
Yeah.
John
Travolta.
I almost said John Denver.
Yeah.
That's a tragic story.
Yeah, John Denver didn't die of a lesion. You know, unless you call plane crashed into the mountain a lesion. So, I know. But I got to say, though, I think that this is probably Kelly Sue DeConnick's best writing to date on this series. I mean, it was fantastic. The characters were awesome. And I've been enjoying the whole series, too. So, you know, and like I said, I mean, nothing against the other individual artists that they've had pop in here, because they have done a really, really nice job. But I'm really hoping that Dexter Soy comes back onto this, because I honestly feel that he's made this book his own, and I think
it's a nice cover.
He deserves it. Yeah, well, that's Jamie McKelvey. He's done a few covers on those. I do really like that one. Jordi Belair did the colors on that cover, too, which, man, she's awesome. This actually was a really good jumping in point, though, for people who haven't been reading this series. And it's also a really good read for people who are just fans of the Avengers as individual characters. Because, like, Carol's talking with Spider-Woman going, you know, going, well, because she's hacking on Carol about having her cat and blah, blah, blah. And she goes, well, you have a Hawkeye, or a Hawkeye has a you, whichever one it is. You know, and it's just cool. Like, you know, there's a couple references to Pepper in there. You see the interaction with Tony. It's just a damn good story about the personal dynamics between these people. So I'm giving it a definite 2 mugs up. So that's all it. Right. Tony, what'd you read?
Well, first off, I got a tweet from my girlfriend, Olivia Munn. Well, she's at least real. It's just the relationship that's fake.
Oh. Wow. Okay. Continue, please.
I picked up Indestructible Hulk number 3. With this series so far, it's been phenomenal. Just the change in Bruce Banner and the tone of what the Hulk's doing. He's doing what he does best. Destroying shit.
Hulk smash.
Yeah. But they're allowing Bruce Banner to do what he does best and make shit or explore and have his science team. This starts off... Oh, and the other thing I love about this book, too, is it involves S.H.I.E.L.D. I've liked books that have S.H.I.E.L.D. as part of it.
Yeah, I was that was one of the things I was reading, of like a summary about that. Now, because is this like the first time Hulk has been part of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the comic book world?
As far as I know.
Yeah, it's part of the first time that Hulk has really been, besides the Avengers, and there's been half the time they're hunting him and S.H.I.E.L.D.'s hunting him.
Sure.
The other half, they're kind of like, oh, he's with Captain America and Thor, they'll take care of him and we'll just back off. This is the first book where, actually, I've seen S.H.I.E.L.D. be a predominant part with their characters. So it's kind of cool to see, like, Maria Hill and some of the other agents and just have kind of more of a spy dynamic.
I love Maria Hill as a character. Like, I mean, like, I love her way more than Eye Patch. So, than Nick Fury 2.
I don't like Samuel Jackson Nick Fury. I like old Nick Fury.
Yeah.
I
like David Hasselhoff Nick Fury.
Yes, yes.
What?
David Hasselhoff did a Nick Fury, like, movie for, like, USA way back in the day.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
But he actually looked kind of like...
Like, have you guys seen that Captain America movie from the 90s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, are we talking like that bad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. Look it up and just, like, type in Hasselhoff Nick Fury and it's great.
All right. So getting back into the story. This is written by Mark Waid. Lanil Francis Yu is the penciler. Jerry Alengelin is the inker. Sonny Go is the colorist. Cover artists, Linnell Yu and Sonny Go.
And Chris Eliopoulos did the letter. So finally a book that Joe hasn't done this week.
So like I was saying, this story starts off with Bruce trying to get a team of scientists for his lab. For whatever part that they have, what Bruce is trying to ultimately do, they haven't really explained. And that's something I'm kind of looking forward to. What's Bruce's end goal here? What is he trying to accomplish with his lab? So Maria is kind of interviewing some people, and it then gets to the people are like, well, where's Bruce right now? Oh, he's taking care of some things. The scientist is getting captured by AIM, and what's the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, when they break in, they switch... Not the body, like, they had a mask over that. They pretty much insert Bruce Banner as this guy, so that when he gets taken back to AIM headquarters...
They take that like, whole helmet.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah,
that. And then, like, who the hell is this guy? And he then just fucking hulks out. Like, And like, and it's cool seeing, like I said, with the whole S.H.I.E.L.D. aspect of it, it's cool seeing these S.H.I.E.L.D. agents kind of make some banter and be like, we just let off a Hulk grenade in there, this cleanup's so easier.
Yeah.
Whatever. And then Hulk smash, like, I thought the fight was going to be a lot more intense than it was, but pretty much Hulk just destroyed this giant fucking, like, Voltron mechanical.
the Quintronic, yeah. Man.
And I thought it was going to be a lot more epic, but I was okay with how quick it ended. It was just like, okay, Hulk destroyed it. The guys were like, yeah, we'll extract him once he cools off. And it was like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. I'm doing what I need to do. They're extracting me, and now I'm going to be back.
Well, and you did just touch on that, but I loved the part in here where they're like, all right, you know, start the extraction procedure, and they're like, we will as soon as he's cool enough to touch.
Yeah.
That was fantastic, because I never thought about, like, you know, because he's basically in fucking lava.
Yeah.
And I never thought about the fact that, well, yeah, that wouldn't hurt him, but at the same time, oh, yeah, apparently he's got to cool down.
Yeah. Well, that, and I like when they then, Bruce Banner's in the hospital bed, and he's like, I shouldn't be in here, and Maria goes, shut up, you know, or he's bitching about, you know, being in there, and she's like, the Hulk heals from most stuff. By the time you reverted, you didn't even have any blisters, so you're not really hurt. And, I mean, that's one thing that I know they've explored before with the Hulk. If Bruce Banner kind of hurt himself, obviously most of the times he'd Hulk out anyways. When he gets into Hulk mode, he's got regenerative powers. As Bruce, he could technically die if there's a way for someone to somehow shoot a bullet in him, but as they've proven before, he's even tried to shoot himself, and the instant he does it, he Hulks out.
Well, like in Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe, though, when Deadpool catches him and he's all exhausted from being the Hulk and he just goes and cuts his head off as Bruce Banner, you know, if he's not expecting it.
Yeah, and there are ways to kill a Hulk, but I like that there's that aspect of it to where, you know, stop being a little whiny bitch, you know, you're healed and whatever. And so she kind of says, yeah, you got your four people, but you're going to get your fifth. This is what I love the most about this book, is they explain what that little flying robot thing was on all the previews for this. They're like, and people are like, why the hell is there a robot there? What the hell is this thing?
His name is Rob.
Yeah.
Recording observation bot.
And I just, and I like that from what I'm thinking the story is going to progress to, is this is going to be kind of a fun kind of character, witty banter. Two things I like about reading comic books, the story, but I like to laugh. That's why I like reading Deadpool, I like reading Spider-Man. They have the witty, funny jokes. Hulk doesn't really have that much. He just Hulk smashes and everything, so you need to have side characters to kind of make a joke or two. I can see this robot saying shit literally like, oh no, Will Robinson, you're going to blah blah, and like Hulk's just being like, shut the fuck up. In this instance right here, he's just like, I'm not having any of this. She's like, well, you better get to know him. And all of a sudden, it just shows the robot, and then it just shows the Hulk's hand smashing it right into the wall.
Yeah, that was great. It was the funny thing, I think, though, on here, you know, is him just, like, instantly going bam. But I thought the great part at the bottom is, like, next, Rob 2.0.
Yeah.
So I hope it doesn't go too cheesy. Like, I mean, I don't want Hulk being, like, having Johnny number 5 rolling around behind him, you know. So, I don't know. But I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Tony, where are we going?
Well, you need to do a book. Oh, no, you already
did a book. Wow, dude, lay off the scotch or something.
the oyster stout.
Oh, that was last week.
God, that was so bad.
I liked it.
It wasn't bad. It was okay.
No, it was
bad, okay, good. Kevin, you got a long box?
Yeah, I do. And so I was thumbing through my box and didn't realize
it would have been better as fingering through my box.
No, I think thumbing through a box.
God, you guys are fucking every goddamn time.
Just
I don't remember what the fuck is. Every time I'm thumbing through it, flipping through it.
So I whip out the long box. Yeah. I unleash the long box. Yeah.
These are horrible. So, so finger in my box. I didn't realize that we haven't talked about any manga.
Manga.
Or at all on this podcast. And I don't know. Do you guys think anyone who listens to this or do they pick it up?
I think some do based on some conversations that I've had with people.
Now, have you guys picked up anything in the last 5 years?
Okay, so here's where I'm going to just be flat out dumb.
Okay.
Is manga the same thing as anime just in print?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. The only thing that I pick up manga style. the only thing I pick up manga
was the old X-Men series.
No. The only stuff that I've ever picked up that I actually collect is Battle Angel Alita, or just known as Battle Angel.
I probably flipped through some manga when I actually worked at a manga store.
Yeah.
Yeah. We actually had one of those here in town.
Yeah, and one of our mutual friends gave me some very disgusting stuff.
Oh, like tentacle porn shit like that?
Well, yeah, and it's like girls, you know, doing stuff to each other. But and that part, like, it wasn't the images that were disgusting as much as it was the sound effects written in that were sploosh and ploosh. You know? Just kind of disturbing.
See, I picked up a couple, but I could never get into the stories because I kept on seeing the end and it progressed to the beginning. I didn't understand what the fuck I was doing. I was like Memento in a book form. Like,
so for those of you that don't know, the Japanese books read opposite of ours, back to front. So,
see, and that's why I like the Americanized version, where it actually reads normal.
Yeah,
thankfully.
All right, so Kevin, you got a little OMG going on.
OMG, yes. Oh my goddess.
Oh my goddess.
Yeah. Now this is actually one of my favorite manga titles. And actually, I watched the anime first, and then I picked up on the manga series. And I picked up a lot of this, probably about half of a long box filled with individual issues.
Wow.
Because here I have in my hand, I actually have a small trade paperback, which was basically the first six issues tied together, and it was called 555 Goddess. Like the telephone, like 555 referring to the fake telephone number.
That's fake.
That
it's as fake as Tio's girlfriend.
I bet. Oh god, that'd be great if that's the phone number that he had for her. What's all right? Yeah, the number is okay. It's 616-555. All right, I'm sorry, Kevin.
No, it's okay.
You know, the great thing is...
I gotta catch my breath when you guys get me going.
The great thing about it, though, like, I mean, you think of, like, Teo's girlfriend ever came out over, the great thing is, he's not, like, running out of extra toilet paper, he doesn't have to wash extra towels, you know?
Well, you gotta think about it, too. He's had a better relationship than Taylor Swift ever has, so...
Yeah, but he doesn't have anything to write songs about, so... Oh, God. Okay. All right, so Oh My Goddess.
Oh My Goddess. Okay, so this is the 555 Goddess. This is like the collection of the first like five or six issues. The basic premise behind this is that you have I would say a loser kid, but a kid who's always wishing, man, I wish I had a girlfriend. And
like Teo?
Yeah. God. And so he, one all of a sudden, and this is actually very quick to build up on this story, is he gets a random phone call on a normal telephone, and basically he thinks it's a prank call where someone's on the other end saying, we're going to connect you with the goddess, and the goddess appears. The goddess is like, hey, I'm here. I'm going to give you a wish. And he's thinking, like, okay, I can go for a lot of money, a lot of fame. But instead, he chooses the goddess. And her name's Belle Dandy.
Okay.
And she's like, what the fuck? You're gonna pick me? It's kind of pervy. Because she...
Well, isn't that what most manga is? Well, not most, but at least half?
There's always the comical... There's at least, I think it's a manga staple, there's always the guy getting into a situation where it's perceived by the other characters that it's that they're being pervy. That's always a comical situation, whether it's a Yeah, fuck, you can insert any. My first one I was thinking of was Ranma, if you ever guys ever read or seen any of that. anyway, so basically, this guy wishes for this girl. The girl's like, all right, wish is granted. And now they're basically cohabitating with each other now and learning more about each other. And there's this growing affection for each other. And so what they do to keep the... So they introduce, throughout the progression of the series, more and more characters, her integration into Japan, him going to school, and then eventually they even bring in more people from the world she came from, like her two sisters, Erd and Skull, I think. Skurd?
Erd and Skurd? That's even better. So, just to give people a heads up, this is a black and white book.
Yeah. The covers were colored, but if I'm recalling correctly, like none of the actual issues were colored.
I haven't come across any manga that is colored yet. And also to give a little credit, Kosuke Fujishima did the story and art in this.
Yeah, but. This is very cute. Maybe it's somewhere between a PG and PG-13 because there is some sexual tension in there.
But there's no like gratuitous sploosh and ploosh.
No, none of that. And but if someone's looking for a sweet story, I'd say somewhere along to bring it to. Like a domestic produced comic, like maybe an Archie. Give this a try. Oh my god, it's
from Dark Horse. I just saw.
Dark Horse
published that. Which
you know what? If I would have brought some of the individual issues, I would have probably given them props sooner. But and I think that it's still an ongoing manga series. So, and this is easily something that anyone can just jump right in.
Nice.
And not going to be totally lost because it's about love and good times, good feelings.
Sweet. Well, speaking of things that are not ongoing series, we have a lot of cancellations that were announced.
Yeah,
here
what the over fuck, the... man? What the hell?
Superman Family Adventures.
Superman Family Adventures is toast. I'm going to blame the parents on this.
Darn diddly darn.
That's probably what they would be actually in Family Adventures. But damn parents weren't buying those for the kids.
Yeah, which kind of pisses us off. Well, maybe most of our listeners don't have kids.
Yeah.
But maybe
most of the listeners probably shouldn't have kids.
Well, I know that none of us should, but one of us does, you know.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So also, Saucer Country was canceled. Also from DC... This one surprised me. iVampire has been canceled. I mean, I don't know if either of you guys are reading that at all.
I've seen the, like, whatever you call the...
Covers?
No, the advertisement in some of the things, and it looked like it was interesting, at least from looking at it, but yeah, I never picked it up.
I picked up a few. I picked up a few of it because it was something that, you know, it's like, I wanted to try and dive into DC, but... I really need to go back to the beginning, and I believe, I hope I'm correct on this, but the artist on there, I believe, has been Raphael Albuquerque, which I've really enjoyed, you know, what his work just in general. Marvel cancellations this week. We got...
this week.
Yeah.
In our new ongoing segment.
Yeah. Otherwise known as Marvel Not Anymore. Extreme X-Men. And Tony, sorry.
Extreme.
Age of Apocalypse.
Yes, this one gets my gonads because...
That really grinds my gears.
It's rootin' tootin' kids and their cancellations.
You never find the droids you're looking for.
I'm upset to see this because the story that they've had, it's something totally different, but it's set in a world, another universe that is probably one of the three core. There's the Marvel core universe, there's the Ultimate universe that most any person knows, and there's the Age of Apocalypse universe. unless you were hiding under a rock in the 90s, that was one of the biggest and best
I
events.
I thought that's where Kevin lived.
Dude, I thought... you were looking right at me when he said that. And actually, the 90s, that was when I was actually reading books. Yes, I know what you're talking about, the unique poly bag.
Yes, yeah, the Age of Apocalypse is what got me started collecting comic books. Because it's so different. That world is so great. So... the thing with this whole extermination crossover event, I'm hoping that they don't... like, the Extreme X-Men, that's just kind of dumb. They can kill off that whole whatever they are. But I hope they don't just shut off the Age of Apocalypse world, because they've had some good crossovers, like the with Uncanny X-Force.
Yeah,
with them going in there and the Death Seed and all that stuff. That was phenomenal storytelling, using this world as an aspect, you know, to tell a story. So I hope it comes back again, or at least other people, when they cross dimensions, visits the world, because
I'm still a huge fan of Blink.
Yes.
You know, I loved Blink in the original. I loved that four-issue miniseries, and then, what was that damn title that you got me hooked on?
Exiles?
Exiles. Yeah. Oh, God, that was great.
Yeah. So I'm sad about that.
Well, Tony, to make you feel a little bit better, the new Age of Ultron book is coming out, and it's going to have a foil cover just for you.
I know. I'm going to have to pick that up.
But now what I did here is that it's going to be regular price at no extra cost, but whether or not...
That's what they say, but, you know, the comic book retailers...
Well, I don't know, though, but, I mean, if they ship them in equal numbers, then...
Well, what if they just ship it, like... That's the only issue that they have.
Well, that'd be awesome. Well, yeah, then it's not at any extra cost. All the issues are $7.99. So you're getting that. I thought that was kind of cool.
Now, do you think this is going to have like a cool hologram on the front?
No, I think it's just I think it's a hollow foil, you know, or a foil graphic, or I don't know.
What's so great about that when I was reading it is, A, we had talked about that last week, and now I just picked those up.
Because they're shiny. Yeah. Oh, that must be good.
But that, honestly, I don't remember in the last 2-3 years, or before, that we've truly had a holofoil cover.
Walking Dead number 100 had one.
Oh, did it?
And that was the only cover that, well, with the exception of like the 1 in 200 or whatever, that was a weird one. But they had some of those, and they were $9.99 for that, that cover. But that was it. That was the only difference. Now, that was kind of cool. And Tony, give you a little bit something else to make you happy. But before that, and I'll tie into both, our clairvoyance powers, or powers of deduction or whatever, once again proving true, the 2X, the XX teaser with the double helix in the background was a female X-Men title, but it's a team title. And it's just going to be X-Men, so the adjective-less X-Men.
Would you see who all was on the team?
Yeah, you got Jubilee, Kitty Pryde, Rachel Summers, Rogue, Mohawk Storm, and Psylocke. So, I'm going to pick it up, because honestly, out of those...
Because it's X-Men.
Has Mohawk Storm been in anything? Mohawk... Since I just remember...
The 80s?
Yeah.
No. Mohawk Storm is coming back a lot, in part due to, from what I understand... due to the new Sam Humphries Uncanny X-Force, where she's going to be in that.
Okay.
So maybe I'll like Storm again now that she has a mohawk. Because maybe it's only when she has a mohawk that she's not all bitchy and whiny and cryy. And, you know.
Here's something I want to throw out, because it sounds weird. X-Men. They're all fucking women. Why not X-Women?
Oh, you're just being... Now you're just being sexist. But, well, okay, so what you're saying is that Rogue is not an X-Man.
Well, who the fuck knows what she is right now, but...
Okay, so does the person that brings your mail, is she a postman?
Yes.
Then
yes.
Why? So then these are X-Men.
Okay.
One of the things that I think is funny is, like, people are bitching about this. Why would you bitch? I mean, like... What is there to bitch about? Number one, you haven't read the fucking comics, so you don't know. You know, number two, it's Brian Wood, and I've been pretty damn happy with just about everything he's written. So, I mean, give it a fucking shot. And tell me what male fanboys out there don't like chicks in tight spandex. I mean, give me, like, that's half the reason that you fucking, you know, do that. I don't get it. But anyway, that's...
I just hope that it doesn't turn into, you know, oh my God, girls, you know, like, let's go listen to Spice Girls or...
Big, though, I bet you that, like, once a month, they are the most badass team ever. Because they're going to start cycling together. all right, Tony, this one will make you really, really happy, though. The birth teaser is Thanos Rising. So, you know, everybody else is looking Galactus, and you and Matt both are like, well, maybe it's Thanos. Maybe it's Thanos.
You mean that purple?
Where it just said birth. It's Thanos Rising. Yeah, okay. Now, you were bitching a few months back when they canceled that Thanos series. Ooh. And I actually have to go back and find out, was that Thanos Rising?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of, that series that they were talking about Thanos. Is it this one, and they just pushed it?
They just paused it to put it out later, so it was part of the Marvel Now? Maybe. I don't know. But, now, no rumors yet of a foil cover, but still, I figured you'd be happy with that. Tony, you have something else, don't you?
One of going to kind of Marvel movie news, as anyone who hasn't seen The Avengers, fuck you, you're not getting a spoiler warning, Agent Coulson dies in the movie. And it's been already talked about, he's going to be in...
Sorry, fuck you, you're not getting a spoiler.
It's already been talked about that he's going to be in the next Avengers movie. So the whole... internet said, well, how? Was it a life model decoy? Did he get resurrected? How did
resurrected?
Yes. it's a magical term. Anyways, as the internet also knows, Joss has been making the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series.
Joss Whedon.
Yes.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know, Joss and Tony go way back.
Yes. We were just on a first name basis. So.
At least you didn't say my boy.
So anyways, my boy, Joss has confirmed that Agent Coulson is going to be in this Marvel TV series. So we've kind of already knew that. The newest word about the series... Most people would then be thinking, okay, this thing is going to be set before the Avengers movies. That way they have a real-life Agent Coulson. They can go about all the events that S.H.I.E.L.D. has done before he tragically died in the movies. What they've just said is, no, this is going to actually take place after the movie. The events of the Avengers happened, and now you have these S.H.I.E.L.D. agents who know of what has happened up into the movie timeline. Which begs the question, then, how can you have Agent Coulson be on the TV show without having said how he was resurrected or whatever? So I think that that's going to be like a number one reason for any fanboys of these Marvel universes or anything. They're going to have a huge fucking reason to watch the pilot episode of how the fuck is Agent Coulson back? You know, how did he get here? And they're going to have to explain that in a TV series. Otherwise, anyone watching it's going to be like,
"So, is it going to be Clark Gregg in the TV series?"
Yes,
really.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him.
And they've also not confirmed, but I don't know what to say, rumored, but high class rumors. There will probably be some sort of maybe Samuel Jackson voiceovers for some things.
It'd be awesome if they had Hasselhoff voiceovers.
Kobe
Smulders.
Yeah. She's been said that she's going to be in a couple episodes. So they're going to take some of these people. It's not going to be superhero-centric. I mean, it is in the world, but they're going to be more or less an espionage-type infiltrating. There'll be some bad guys, some made-up things.
My guess is that it's probably going to be like they're going to be going up more against normal humans who have some, like, awesome tech. That's just my personal guess.
But I can only imagine that they're going to put cameos of certain heroes into the show. I mean, for any fanboy...
Yeah, like put a cameo like, oh man, Thor left his coffee cup there again.
Yeah.
But you don't actually have to pay, you know, whatever the hell his name is that plays Thor to show up.
And so I'm so looking forward to this series. I just wish my boy... Joss wasn't making it because we know it's going to get canceled.
Well.
Well.
No, Buffy lasted how many fucking series?
Okay, actually, he has one good docket on him.
What network is this going to be on?
I think
probably
it's
ABC.
No, I think it's ABC if I'm remembering right.
Yeah, I mean, Disney owns ABC, so yeah.
True that. True that.
You know what?
With your boy.
I think it being on a big network like that probably won't last.
Yeah. I'm going to give it 3 years.
I'm going to give it four more. How much did the Heroes go?
Heroes, 2.5?
Was it only 2.5?
I think they canceled it during the third season.
Yeah, oh, wow. That's bad. I mean, the goal for any television series is 4.
Syndication.
That's the reason why, like, Star Trek Enterprise, that's the only reason why they made a fourth season. They wanted to make it syndicated.
You got to have 100 episodes to hit syndication?
Something like that, but... Which was actually the best thing that ever happened to Enterprise, because that fourth season was the badass season.
The badassest?
Assest. Yeah, because they didn't give a fuck. They're like, the writers are just like, oh, this sounds good, and they just ran with it, and it was great. And but I mean, hopefully it's good, and it doesn't turn out to be like NY. What's that stupid NCIS? That's what I'm
NCIS?
Thinking.
NCIS?
Yeah, some sort of...
Yeah.
I almost threw out a NYPD blue.
Yeah, that's reference. What I was like. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Well, other TV movie tie-in news. They've got people hired to script the next Terminator movie, which...
I had no idea they were even talking about
I didn't that. Know that. I'm like, why?
I knew.
Well, that's good. That your boy probably told you that. Like, I mean, I'm not really opposed to it, but I'm not really in favor of it either. I mean, it's like I love the Terminator shit. I absolutely love the Terminator shit.
Did you guys ever watch the TV show?
Oh yeah,
That was a good TV show.
I own both seasons on DVD. It was fantastic. I mean, it was a hell of a lot of fun. In Summer Glau, it's kind of hard to just not look at her.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean. So, I mean, it was really good. I liked that series. Yeah, I mean, there's flaws in the whole plot line and stuff like that, but it's just fun. So, who gives a fuck?
I've always, as I've mentioned before, aliens are time travel. So, Terminator has time travel, and it has the time travel theory, as I throw it out there, of destiny is going to happen. But what they've proven in the Terminator series, you can postpone it. Judgment Day was supposed to happen the first time the Terminators came back, and it didn't. It got postponed a bit to Terminator 2. That was supposed to end it, and then it got postponed to Terminator 3, and Skynet actually took over. And
I understand what you're getting at, but I don't know if you can necessarily say that Terminator proved that.
Well, no, I'm just saying that's a thought of time travel. You know, you can say it's just static. If you go back in time and do something... That's already happened to us now. If I travel back in time, I've already did all the shit that would culminate up to this point. There's no going away from the narrative of the now. But yeah. Terminator's kind of a little bit different. I like the future one, and from what I know is they're making a trilogy of the future John Connors. They're making a future set to see the ultimate destruction of either humanity or the Terminators. I hope they kind of show and explain... The fucking doohickey that sends them back in time. I mean, if it's a fucking DeLorean setup, badass. But
that'd be sweet. I mean, all right. So last bit of news and note. Excuse me. Last bit of news and notes is it is comic book convention related, and I mean, con season is coming upon us quickly. Which, by the way, it's only as of today, it's 116 or 117 days till. Our appearance at Motor City Comic Con, which I can't fucking wait. That's going to be awesome. But there was a fantastic article on OregonLive.com about Wizard conventions starting their own comic book convention in Portland. And I believe it's the week prior to Emerald City Comic Con in Seattle, which is a couple hours away. Now... Mm-hmm. Wizard's known for having huge shows with lots of celebrities and lots of, you know, big-name artists and guests and stuff like that. Why the fuck would you put a convention like that a week before one of the biggest conventions that I know of in the country.
65,000 people? Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, to me, either it's piss poor planning or it's a dick move, and I don't know which one it is, you know, and you know, I mean, Wizard, back in the day, I've heard that they did some practices and things that pissed other people off, and they've apparently said that they've changed that, but then they do this. But the reason I bring up this article is that it was just really cool because you see a lot of really interesting things about conventions that a lot of people don't know, you know, that's never reported in the news. The fact that for Mark Hamill to show up at your convention, he has a guaranteed $100,000 guarantee. That so basically the convention goes, all right, we're guaranteeing that you're going to make, you know, six figures, and if you don't, we will pay you the difference. That's how those guarantees work, you know. And they talk about, you know, Stan Lee in here, that, you know, he's that his set price is like right around that $55 or $60 per autograph mark, which has gone up in the last few years, because I know a few years back it was in that 40 to 50, but now he's gone up since then. You know, so I mean, it's kind of interesting because a lot of people don't realize that these guests that come in, that they have a guaranteed minimum that they have to make, and if for some reason people don't show up and spend money, it comes out of the pocket of the convention that's holding the show. So it was just a really cool thing to me to see a little bit behind the scenes on the convention. And I guess the reason I wanted to bring it up is that I see a lot of people bitching, you know, to conventions, like on their social media sites, about you guys charge too much money for this, you charge too much money for that. Well, they're bringing in the guests
they're charging too much money.
Yeah,
they ask for it and they get it.
Yeah, well, and that's who the fans want, and if that's who the fans want, then that's one of, you know, what one of the things that they're going to have to deal with. You want them? There they are. We got them. But now you got to pay for it. You know, and I mean, Stan Lee's going to be at Motor City, and I'm shelling out the $60 or whatever the hell it is for an autograph from him, because I want one.
Yeah, I see that would probably, I mean, honestly, the most I'll ever pay for an autograph is, it with Stan Lee being the only exception, $5.
Yeah.
Because autographs mean not much to me, except for except that I really want him to sign my X-Men 12.
Yeah. Well, the problem that where the problem lies is the reason that they charge as much as they do is that Stan Lee can sign things all day for free, because it's not like he necessarily, you know, it's not like, I don't think Stan's hurting for cash.
Oh.
But the reason that they do it a lot of times is because people will instantly take it and turn around and sell it on eBay. You know, and he took time out of his day to sign it. It's kind of a deterrent so that the real fans that want it, they can get it. You know, and I don't know.
Honestly, I never thought about it like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are a ton of people out there that, well, at the last time we saw Stan at a show, CGC was sitting right there. So you walked away with your autograph, you walked it right over to them. They now guarantee that that's a real signature. They grade your book, they slab it. Now and the only reason people are doing that is because they're going to fucking sell them for a profit. Mm-hmm. I'm a collector, so that's my thing. But anyway, enough bitching on that. I'm done.
Yeah, all right, let's take a drive down the turnpike.
The Indy Turnpike? All right. Indy Turnpike, for those of you that are not familiar, is where we kind of give a little shout-out and a little spotlight on one of the books that are not from the big two. This week, I have Fanboys versus Zombies number 10, which
Your man crush.
Fucking love this book. But I haven't actually reviewed a full issue.
When's the wedding date?
I don't know. I'd love to marry this book, because I know I love this book. I hope this book loves me. But no, like, I bring this book up every fucking month when it comes out. I talked about the trade paperback last week that it came out. You know, this book is a must read, I think, for any true fanboy. Let me back up. This is written by Shane Houghton, which this is his first, or no, I think this is his second issue on it. The story was by him and Sam Humphries. Art on this was by Brian Turner, who I think that's his first time on here. But Jerry Gaylord also, who has been the regular artist, has also done that. Ink assist by Penelope Gaylord. Colors by Mirka Andolfo and Andrea Dada. Letters by Ed Dukeshire. And I got the cover by Jerry Gaylord. So this issue is a really, really fun place for people to hop on, because if you missed a couple issues or if you just know the basis, two of the main characters, Rob and Berger, who are part of the Wrecking Crew, you know, the group of friends that go to the convention every year, they got separated and they finally showed up in the last panel of issue 9. And Rob's missing an arm, you know, and Berger's still fat, but they got awesome beards. And it's kind of the fun story of what happened to them. So it's a little bit of a flashback, but it kind of fills you in on some of the other stuff. I love this damn book, not just because it's a good story and the characters are awesome, but it's really funny, it's really fun. And Tony, I got to show you this one, because I know you haven't read this because you're still catching up on a couple. But in the Robin Berger jump into the sewers to escape the zombies when they get separated, check out, in the sewers, there's a guy dressed up like a Ninja Turtle who's a zombie. So, I mean, it's just, this book is fantastic. The characters, they're funny, they're realistic, even though they're over-the-top exaggerations of people. But there's something in here where everybody can go, yep, that's my friend, oh, that's me. I mean, it's just fucking fun. And there's a lot of realism, you know, as far as how the friendships and interactions are. You know, other cool thing, they've now got the guy who is the most famous zombie writer out there, kind of like the Robert Kirkham. He's tagged along now in their group, so, you know, it's fun because they're like, holy shit, is that, you know, I can't remember what the hell his name is. It's Kirk something, which is, you know, is that Kirk so-and-so? They're like, yeah, we got him, you know. But it's great. There's a fucking zombie shark in here, which is also, go pick up this goddamn book if you guys aren't buying it. Like, and I know that, like, you know, there are people buying it at my local shop, but not as much as they should be. So Tony, you have a special gift, it looks like.
Yes, and I found the best of both worlds. I've only halfway peeled off the sticker. So the sticker is still on there, so I will get the in-between price of having a sticker on or not. But for any listeners that want to download Indestructible Hulk...
Wait, before you do that, this is like two kegs up on Fanboys versus Zombies. Okay. Just... I think that's my favorite fucking series out there.
Thanks, Captain Obvious. Jeez, yeah.
Shut the fuck up. It's great.
I want to give away free comics.
Okay, so Tony's
going to... So the first listener to go ahead and download this, because I think it's only...
No, I'm listening.
Yeah, Kevin, no.
TMM20L12DBJK. So go to... Marvel.com.
Was there really a JK at the end? Like, just kidding?
Yeah.
Read it one more time.
TMM20L12DBJK.
All right. It's good for the first person, so yeah, whoever gets
whoever's the first person that listens to us.
Although, here's the deal. If you whoever gets this, tweet us or Facebook us and let us know, please. You know,
yeah. We'd like to know who listens and who.
We'll make you famous.
Yeah. Derek, what do you got? Derek, what do you got for booze in the book?
What fucking movie was that that I just quoted that I can't remember right now? Make you famous.
I don't know. I tell you, I probably tell you both hands how many movies I've seen in the last.
Oh, no, this one's from a while back. Anyway, fuck it. Booze in a Book. All right, Booze in a Book this week. I picked All New X-Men number 6, written by Brian Michael Bendis, art by David Marquez, colors by Marte? I don't know, Garcia. And I got the variant Generation X cover done by Chris Bochalo, which is awesome. Which, it's the 50th anniversary, I think, of X-Men, because it's certainly not the 50th anniversary of Generation X, but it's 50th anniversary variant cover, which I just thought it was sweet because I loved Generation X back in the day.
Being with Skin?
Yeah.
And
what was it? Husk.
I say
Skin.
But that was one of the characters, right? Foreskin?
Foreskin, yeah. Yeah, Foreskin. Foreskin, there was Sheath. Shaft.
You really like that? Because there was nothing memorable about Generation X.
I liked it when it came out. Was it
the holofoil cover on the first issue?
Well, actually, no. It was the mini holograms on all the issues leading up to it that were tied in, like how they're catching all these people. So anyway,
sorry, booze in the book.
Yeah, all new X-Men number 6, and I'm pairing this with a double IPA from Lagunitas, and this beer is actually called Lagunitas Sucks. Now, this...
Who came up with that idea?
Well, okay, so here's a little background. Lagunitas, one of their most popular beers that they put out every year is called Brown Sugar. S-H-U-G-G-A, so people don't think I'm just an idiot mispronouncing sugar. It's Brown Sugar.
Merca.
God damn it! I am so gonna beat somebody in the head with a fucking...
I knew it. Yeah.
Alright, so anyway... From what I understand, they weren't able to make Brown Sugar that year. And so this is the Brown Sugar Substitute Ale. And it's Lagunitas Sucks because they knew people were going to bitch. So they're just like, they knew people were going to be like, Lagunitas Sucks, man! So they just called it Lagunitas Sucks. Now, this IPA has an ABV of 7.85 and an IBU of 63.21. Back up. Alcohol, 7.85. Basically, the bitterness is a 63.21, which is actually not very high for an IPA. Now, the reason that I'm matching these two up is because I tend to get really judgmental about both IPAs and any kind of crazy change that they make to the X-Men. And lately, I've been really sick of the excessively overhopped beers, and we won't even mention my initial thoughts on bringing Jean Grey back for the 89th time or whatever the fuck it was. But fucking goddamn it, the book is really good, and Lagunitas Sucks is anything but sucking. So go buy them both. They won me over, and honestly, it was easy like that. So there you go. Cheers.
Awesome.
Yeah. Did you guys try this?
No, but I will now.
Yeah. It's tasty. It's not overly hoppy.
It's an IPA.
That's kind of the same way I normally.
Good. I'm stealing one from my fridge.
No, you're not.
Watch me.
All right, one last thing. We did mention Motor City Comic Con. Please, guys, come out and see us. We're doing a panel. We're doing a live recording of the podcast. It's May 17th through 19th. And where is it, Kevin?
Detroit.
Novi?
Hey, I know it's Novi, but I mean...
It's the Showcase Showdown?
I was hoping we would get a Price is Right reference in here at some point.
The Suburban Showplace, is that it?
The Suburban Showcase.
Showcase or Showplace?
Showplace.
Yeah. So now you got Showplace. So go check them out at MotorCityComicCon.com. Stan Lee's going to be there. Greg Horn's going to be there. Ryan Stegman's going to be there.
We're going to be there.
Well, yeah. Well, we already said us. I mean, I don't want to steal the thunder from those other guys.
We just need to tell our listeners how much awesomer we are than them. We get two mentions in this podcast.
Wait, we mentioned ourselves in the podcast, so that makes us awesome.
Shout out to Drunk on Comics.
Yeah. Oh, so
listen to them.
speaking of a couple other shout outs that I do want to give, an Elegant Weapon podcast. I did mention them at the beginning. Go check those guys out. They're fun stoners that love Star Wars. So if either one of those are your thing, then it's perfect. If both of them are your thing, then hell. You know, it's going to be like your...
I love getting high. with that said, I probably like anything I'm listening to.
Yeah, but they do talk a lot of comics and stuff, too. So there's them. Also, go check out the Fat Lantern blog. Awesome guy. He's put up some really fun stuff. They're short blogs, too. So, I mean, it's not like... Like, I always get worried when I go to a blog and it's like you start reading and then you look down and it's like, oh, this is going to take me an hour to read. Fucking I'm done. You know, like he's got good, quick, to the point blogs and he's got some funny shit. Two last shout outs to, three. I'm going to do three. Ari Carr, she's got her own blog. Go look her up on the Twitter because that's probably the easiest way to find her. And then.
Yeah, because I wouldn't even know how to spell Ari if I didn't. To actually see it on Twitter.
It's A-R-I.
Yeah, because I saw it on Twitter.
Yeah. Look up Jay Webb. He does actually some blog posts for Inner Comics, one of our sponsors. And then go look up Nick Francis. He's a fantastic new up-and-coming artist. So those are all the ones that I really wanted to mention this week. They've been fantastic supporters of the show, too, and we appreciate that.
Yep.
So that's it. Check us out on Twitter.
Check us out on Facebook.
Check us out on drunkoncomics.com.
Get back to us when we ask you questions, folks. I mean, we're here to appease you.
Well, not really, but sometimes.
Yeah, we want to make your little earbuds.
We want to make sex to your ear holes.
Yes, and we can't do that without knowing the proper words to say.
Yeah, so want to put our urethra in your cochlea or what?
All right, you guys, though, before we end, I just want to say, though, you know, we had a lot of fun with all these tail jokes, and it's funny and all, but we just need to try to remember that a person who never existed is dead.
So
and that is sad.
Okay, so let's have a moment of not real silence.
A moment of laughter.
All right, guys, on behalf of Tony.
Yo.
On behalf of Kevin.
Hi.
I'm Derek. And...
It's goodbye now.
Yeah. Keep reading your comics, guys. We'll be back next week to talk about them then.